We're going to be in the book of Psalms tonight, chapter number 89, Psalm chapter 89. How many remembers how dark it was last Wednesday night in Psalm chapter 88? Boy, that's dark, ain't it? I believe that's about the darkest place in Scripture that I've ever been, amen? And I mean, outside, if you want to go to Calvary, God knocked the lights out in the whole world, amen, for 3 hours, I believe, wasn't it? Sixth hour to the ninth hour, is that right, Brother Jason? I believe, does that sound right? I don't know where that come from, but I think that's what's in my mind anyway. But God put the lights out. I mean, it was total darkness, amen. And when Jesus was hanging on that tree, we're going to be in Psalm 89 tonight, and there's some darkness in this psalm, but there's some praise going on in the darkness, and I want us to look at it tonight, and I'll just give you the title up front of the message. We're going to look at instruction concerning God's faithfulness. Six different times in this one psalm, there's a phrase, thy faithfulness, and or my faithfulness. And I'll be honest with you, if there's anybody here tonight that's faithful, you know, the Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us. But if there's anybody faithful, it's because he was first faithful. Amen. And he put that in our heart. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's start reading tonight in verse number 1. It says here, this is a maskil, or the instruction of Ethan the Ezrahite. I'll say a little bit more about him and Heman in a moment. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known, and here's the first time it's used, thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? I looked at that word there as I read. I'm going to pray in just a moment. That word reverence. And Brother Jason touched on this a little bit Sunday. I can't remember if it was Sunday night. But there ought to be reverence for the things of God. Amen. I never have liked being called reverend, because the Scripture says holy and reverend is his name. That's the only time the word reverend is used. Now, in prison, they didn't call me Reverend, but they called me Rev. That was short for Reverend, amen. I can remember going in, Brother Mike, and there'd be some guys in there with arms as big as my legs. I'm not joking. That's all they had to do was lift weights and work out. And I mean, buddy, there was some guys in there with muscles on them. And I'd go in a prison, and I'd pick those guys out, Brother Justin, and I'd squeeze their arm. I'd be talking to them. I'd squeeze their arm. I'd say, now listen, we're going to have a revival or a riot or something. I said, you be on my side, will you? And they'd say, I got you, Rev. That's what they'd say. I got you, Rev. Amen. I picked out a team before it ever got started. Amen. And I believe it kept them off of me. Amen. Because they love me. They love the Lord. Many of them love the Lord Jesus. I got a good letter from Abram today, and a form to fill out. God willing, I'll be visiting with him before too long. Let's pray together and we'll get in the message. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God, and thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, I would to God I could say, Lord, that since 1987, when you saved me, that I've always been faithful. Lord, that wouldn't be true. But Lord, I can stand here tonight and say you've always been faithful, and you always will be. Lord, I remember a song the trio sang there at Oak Glen, though I failed the Lord, he has never failed me. God, I love you tonight, and I thank you for these that are gathered for prayer meeting. Thank you for the throne of grace we can come to, find grace to help, mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Lord, our country tonight is in a dire strait. We're in a time of need. God, would you help us? We don't deserve it. Lord, I just pray you'd be merciful. Lord, as I believe it was Habakkuk over in the Minor Prophets, he said in wrath, remember mercy. Oh God, have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. These two fellows in chapter number 89, Ethan and Heman, are two men that were known for their wisdom. Turn with me to 1 Kings tonight and show you a couple of verses of Scripture. And I appreciate men that have wisdom. And the Bible said that Christ has made unto us wisdom. And without him, really there is no wisdom. And these men are in the, they're contemporaries of both Solomon and David. And of course, Solomon was a very, very wise man. And yet, even a wise man, he didn't finish well. Amen. He got his eyes off the Lord, and he got his eyes on women, and it messed him up. Amen. I remember Brother Gene Lashley. I've always loved old preachers. And Brother Gene sat down with me at a meal one day. I was getting ready to present my work to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Brother Gene said, Brother Vinoy said, a man can make it in the ministry if he can preach a lick. That's what he said. He said, if he keep his hands clean in two areas. He said, money and women. That's what he said. He said, if he can preach a lick, he can make it in the ministry if he keep his hands clean. And Solomon, we know, messed up. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 4, I'll show you a little bit about these men. We've got to move on. We've got a lot long way to go here. Verse number 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Watch this now. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Maal, and his fame was in all the nations round about. So these men, according to the Bible here, were men that was thought worthy to be compared with Solomon, though Solomon had more wisdom. I tell you, just to be in the same room with him, say amen, would be something. So they're men that are known for their wisdom. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15 and verse number 19. Let's look at this together tonight. I wish I'd have marked these in my Bible, but we'll get there in a moment. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 19. I did turn and read them as I was preparing. And verse number 19, 1 Chronicles 15 and verse number 19, the Bible said, so the singers, here they are, Heman and Asaph and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. And then one more reference to these men, 2 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verse number 12 through verse number 14. I believe if you look at the history of these men, it would make you want to pay attention to their writings. And it ought to be good enough that God put it in the canon of Scripture to make us want to pay attention to it. But these men were no dummies, amen. They were wise men. and God used them to write these things down. We're going to start in verse number 12 in chapter number 5, 2 Chronicles 5. Also the Levites, which were the singers of all of them, of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun. Now, some of the men that I studied after, they believe this is Ethan right here, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Isn't that good? Say amen. As one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. You say, Pastor, why did you magnify that? Well, if Jesus prays about it over and over and over in his prayer in John 17, I believe it's important. God said that they may be one, even as we are one. That's important to the Lord, amen? And the Bible said here, as they were singing and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals, the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. Can anybody say amen right there? His mercy endureth forever. And the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Oh, Brother Chris was preaching Sunday night about being hot. I'm going to tell you, if it gets hot enough, God will come it down. Amen. And how many's ever heard somebody say something like this, why it got foggy in that place? Amen. That's what we need, the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it came about as they were one, as they were singing, as they were praising. God didn't give them that wisdom just to twiddle their thumbs. They was using that wisdom for the glory of God. So the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You're talking about asking, Brother Jason. That'd be a good thing to ask for. God, do it one more time. God, just fill your house, amen, with your presence, with your power, and help people that need to be saved to get saved, Christians that need to get right to get right, amen. I want to give you a little bit of background here before I start in really on the good stuff, so to speak. If you start in verse number 38, the Bible said here, gives it all these positive things about God and His faithfulness. Then in verse 38, it says, but thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You say, Pastor, what happened? All I can do is study, but I don't know what happened for sure. But there's several things that could have been going on right here. It could have been at the time of Absalom's rebellion. That was a dark time in the nation, amen? When Absalom, the son of David, was rebelling and getting people to rebel against the king. It could have been during the time of the spiritual decline that we mentioned of Solomon. Amen. And let me say this about that spiritual decline. We're in bad shape if we take pleasure in anybody. Listen to me carefully. I don't care whether they're our stripe or not. When we take pleasure in anybody that names the name of Christ going down in that spiritual decline, we're in bad shape. Because the whole cause of Christ suffers, amen. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor, if it's a deacon. It doesn't matter if it's somebody that's a church member. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can tear down in 5 minutes what it took 50 years to build up, amen. But we should never gloat in that. We should never glory in that. Because the cause of Christ suffers, amen. We go out here and knock on doors, and there's a lot of people. It's been church hurt, amen. And they've seen this or seen that. There's a man I tried to win to God for years and wise, the first church I ever pastored. I mean, I loved that man. He was a good man. He was solid as a rock as far as morals, as far as a work ethic, a hard worker. And I never could get through to him. And it bothered me, amen. He'd come on Sunday morning and I'd preach and preach and preach and preach. And he never did get saved. His son come down with terminal cancer. And I'm telling you, the man got saved. He said, I saw the grace of God in my son's life. His son got saved in that at an early age in that church where I was pastoring. And he said, I saw the grace of God. I said, Joe, I got to know. I said, why? Why did it take all these years? He said, Rick, I was the boss at work. He said, I had deacons at work for me. I had preachers at work for me. And he said, I watched them and I watched their lives. He said, I had no confidence. Amen. But I'll tell you, he said, I saw the grace of God in my boy's life. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say this, beloved. The spiritual decline of Solomon hurt a lot of people. It didn't just hurt Solomon. It didn't just hurt David. Amen. When he went down there with Bathsheba, it hurt a lot of people. It could have been after Solomon's death that this crisis, and it could be that we don't know what the crisis is. There was just a crisis here, and God did know this, just like he told over there in the book of Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Nobody knows for sure what that thorn in Paul's flesh was, but everybody's got a thorn. Say amen. And God said, my grace is sufficient for whatever the thorn is. And it could be that right here, what God is telling us, beloved, is whatever the crisis is, God is faithful. Amen. God is still faithful. I got some things to share with you tonight. I need to move on. If Spurgeon said this, if we cannot understand him, we still will not distrust him. Amen. An old preacher said it like this years ago. It got a hold of me when he said it. He said, when you can't track him, you can still trust him. Say amen. My son had his phone out the other day. I said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm looking to see where Megan's at. That's his wife. And they just, as a family, they got that thing where they can see where their boy is. He's got his driver's license now. And I don't have none of that stuff, amen. I don't care to get it. But anyway, he said, I can see right where she's at, Dad. I said, ain't that something? Ain't you glad we got a God that can see right where we're at? And he don't need a cell phone to do it. Say amen. He don't need a cell tower. He knows right where we're at. He knows right what we need. He knows how many hairs in our head. And he's faithful to his youngins. Amen. Let's look at this tonight. The psalm ends with much trouble. Mercies here comes from the word, I don't know how you would pronounce it. It looks like hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It's sometimes thought of as a covenant, a love, or a loyal love of God or of Yahweh. The psalm ends with much trouble, and yet it begins with much praise. I want to give you this tonight. Here's something we can learn from this psalm. Instruction concerning the faithfulness of our God. We can learn this. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes, beloved, it's easy to give thanks. But God didn't say give thanks when it's easy. He said in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We think when we're in trouble that we can get ease by complaining. But we do more and we get joy by praising the God that loved us and that we serve. Let our complaints therefore be turned into thanksgiving, Spurgeon said. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's a trouble in the end of the psalm, but there's praise in the beginning of the psalm. Psalm 119, listen to this. Said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now, boy, that's a good one, ain't it? Amen. When's the last time that you've been able to praise the Lord even when you were afflicted? I'm telling you, beloved, God's got a plan, and all of it fits in His plan, and I praise Him for that tonight. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Let me show you a verse or two of Scripture here before we go on. I'm just trying to lay a little groundwork and get into the message. Psalm 119 and verse number 67. The Bible said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. That's something, isn't it? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Look with me, if you will, tonight. Down, let's see here. I believe it's verse 71. Watch this. I'm telling you, this is kind of like that fellow when Paul stood out on the on the top of that ship, and that storm was crashing. They've done throwed everything overboard. And he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer." He looks like an idiot, amen, right there in the middle of that storm. But he was believing God. Say amen. And the psalmist here said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You think about that tonight. I don't know, Brother Gary, what these preachers on TV, the Smiley and the rest of them, I don't even know what they do with verses like that. Amen. They say, well, if you love God, you'll never get sick. If you love God, according to them, you'll never bury a loved one. If you love God, you'll never have any financial trouble. I'm telling you this tonight, beloved, that's all a lie out of hell. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God's got something good tonight for us. He wants us to see that, listen, He's faithful tonight through it all. Amen. He's faithful. Verse number 3 here, the Word of God said, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant." People knew that what God promised to David, and they understood that Solomon fulfilled it only partially. And ultimately, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the chapter, it was going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. A covenant is an agreement or a promise, usually formal, between two or more people or groups to do or not to do something specified. Amen. If God will help me to remember, Brother Jason, you help me to remember this. What I'd like to do the night we have communion, I want to get the church covenant out and read it. Amen. I tell you, I think we need to read it every once in a while. We have some responsibilities to it. I remember when I left Liberty Baptist Church, 2 weeks later I was joining over at Oak Glen Baptist Church. Somebody said, "Why would you go and join a church that quick?" I said, "Because I said I would. And I'll keep my word." Say amen. I said, as soon as I leave this place, that's what it said. I'll go and unite with a church of like faith. Is that what it says in there? A lot of people don't pay no mind to it. But I believe it's important. Amen. If you make a covenant, do what you said you'd do. When God makes a covenant, He's going to do what He said He would do. When I read over the end of the chapter a while ago, "Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant." That was the way they felt. But how many knows your feelings will lead you astray? They felt like the covenant of God had been disannulled. But God don't give His word and then go back on it. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. Hallelujah. Just as sure as my name's what it is. Amen. And He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years here on the earth. Thank God tonight for His faithfulness. Let's look tonight at His faithfulness. Psalm 89 and verse number 8 said, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee?" The first thing I want to give you tonight is God's faithfulness in the Christian. In verse number 1, He said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Let me ask you something. Do you always feel like singing? Aren't we sometimes just like the children of Israel? We want to hang our harp on the willow, say amen. We don't feel like it, amen. But I'm telling you, the psalmist said, "I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." My feelings will change from day to day, but His mercy and His faithfulness will never change. So Lord, just go ahead. I'm going to tell you something right now. God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. I was writing to the youngins the other day as we were doing our devotion, and I was telling them about my favorite song is "Amazing Grace." I'll tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, I love the song. It's the song that pricked my heart before I got saved, and it's a song of praise after I got saved. Amen. It's a song, beloved, talks about the faithfulness of God in His grace. And so tonight, we see God's faithfulness in the Christian. He said, "Thy mercies, O Lord, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Watch this now. "With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations." A little while back, it ain't been a little while, probably been 25 years ago, there was something that was real popular. And it was called lifestyle evangelism. It said, You know what we need to do, brother, when we go out on visitation, just walk by people's houses. Just dress up, and they say, "Boy, there's something different." That's a bunch of junk. Amen. You know what the psalmist said right here? Now listen, if you don't have a lifestyle that backs up what you say,
You're a mess. Say amen. But I'm telling you, the psalmist said, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to declare the faithfulness of the Lord. And I believe that needs to be done. I'm going to make known thy faithfulness to my family. Is that what it said? I'm going to make known thy faithfulness to the folk at work. Is that what it said? No, he said, I'm going to make it known to all generations. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's some people, I could name them right now, but one of the things I really admire about folk is folks that can communicate with a five-year-old and can communicate with a doctor. Say amen. I'm going to tell you, that's real wisdom. Say amen. They can get the cookies down on the bottom shelf where everybody can get them, or they can talk to a doctor. Say amen. And I thank God for men and women like that. Amen. And here the psalmist said, I'm talking about your faithfulness, God, and I'm going to make it known to all generations. Let me share something with you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing. I cried like a baby today when I read this. And it comes out of a book by Kirk Johnston, and the title of the book is Why Christians Sin. Why Christians Sin. And here goes the story. Roger Sims was hitchhiking his way home. He would never forget the date, May the 7th. His heavy suitcase made Roger tired. He was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. Flashing the hitchhiking sign to the oncoming car, he lost hope when he saw it was a black, sleek, new Cadillac. To his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger door opened. He ran toward the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. Going home for keeps? Sure am, Roger responded. Well, you're in luck. If you're going to Chicago... Roger said, not quite that far. Do you live in Chicago? I have a business there. My name is Hanover. After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to witness to this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman about Christ. But he kept putting it off till he realized he was just 30 minutes from home. It was now or never. So Roger cleared his throat. Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important. He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought that he was going to be ejected from the car, but the businessman bowed his head and received Christ. And thank Roger. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Listen, 5 years went by. Roger married. He had a 2-year-old boy and a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he found the small white business card that Hanover had given him 5 years before. In Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. And a receptionist told him it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office, and he found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. You knew my husband? Roger told Hal that her husband had given him a ride when hitchhiking home from the war. Can you tell me when it was? He said, it was May the 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army. Anything special about that day? Roger hesitated. Should he mention giving his witness? Since he had come so far, he might as well take the plunge. Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel. He pulled over to the side of the road and wept against the steering wheel. He gave his life to Christ that day. Explosive sobs shook her body. Getting a grip on herself, she sobbed. I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him. And said Roger, where is your husband, Mrs. Hanover? She said, he's dead. She wept, struggling with the words. He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never got home, struggling with the words. He was in a car crash. After he got out of the car, he never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. Sobbing uncontrollably, she added, I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to get across to us tonight? God give us a whole psalm to instruct us that God is faithful. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we need to understand tonight that our God is faithful. Amen. Some of those prayers will never get answered until we're on the other side looking back this way. But God is faithful. I don't know about you tonight, but that stirs me up. Amen. What, Brother Jason, what if he would have been like us, some of us sometimes? How many's missed it at times? You know God wanted you to witness, and you kept your mouth shut. Say amen. I can imagine especially riding with a businessman in a black Cadillac. Say amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, I tell you, I bet God lit a fire under that man. Amen. Listen, he would have died without God and went to hell. That man hadn't have done what God told him to do. I've thought about people in my life, in my ministry, that have quit on God, got mad at God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. God ain't nothing but faithful. He's full of mercy. He's full of truth. And beloved, the psalmist here is giving us that maskel, that instruction concerning God's faithfulness. We see God's faithfulness is seen in the Christian in verse number 1. Here's some verses to go with that. Verse number 30 down through verse number 34. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. If we could get a hold of the truth tonight, we'd realize that even in chastisement, our God is faithful. Amen. The Bible said, no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We see God's beloved faithfulness in the Christian. Secondly tonight, let's look at verse number 2. The Bible said, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Tonight, boy, last night I got me a little table and I like to study in my shop. It's quiet. Amen. I stepped out and I looked up at the sky. And I'm telling you, the stars, it's just amazing. And you say, well, Pastor, what did you hear? I didn't hear anything audible. But I'd been studying. God said, I'm faithful. I hung them there. I'm the one keeping them there. I know all their names. And I know your name. I say hallelujah tonight. Say amen. I'm telling you, the Bible said, beloved, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his hand at work. God's faithfulness is not only seen in the Christian, but God's faithfulness is seen in the creation. And the heavens, Psalm 50 and verse 6, shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself, Selah. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Don't you feel sorry for people that live day after day after day? The old timer said it like this. He said they're like hogs under a oak tree. They never look up. and see where the acorns are coming from. Boy, I'm glad I know where the acorns are coming from. Amen. My wife and I looked at that pear tree today, and if it don't freeze out, I'm telling you what's the truth. I'd have enough pears to feed every deer in Sullivan County. Amen. Amen. It's them hard pears. You got to set them in the wind about 2 weeks before you can get a tooth in one of them. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God did that. Amen. And He's faithful. His creation ought to speak to us, especially if we know Him. Amen. The sun came up this morning. That moon was beautiful last night. Thank God for His faithfulness. Not only that, watch this now. God's faithfulness is seen in the Christian. God's faithfulness is seen in the creation. But in verse number 5, God's faithfulness is seen in the congregation. The Bible said here, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints." You know something tonight? I don't believe I can put enough stress on what I'm about to say. Beloved, every one of us ought to be sensitive to the blessed Holy Ghost of God when we come together in the congregation. Beloved, I'm telling you tonight, the devil will say something like that. They don't want nobody want to hear that. I'm going to tell you something right now. If it's not bragging on you, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and it's not bragging on the devil. Have you ever heard a testimony like that? You'd think there's a mighty big devil and a mighty little God when they got done. Amen. But if it's, beloved, boasting in the goodness of God and in His faithfulness, you never know who might need that. Say amen. And I believe all of us ought to be sensitive. Psalm 40, verse number 10 said, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." How many beloveds ever sat in a church service knowing God wanted you to say something, you didn't do it? How many's ever sat in a church service knowing God wanted you to say something and you did do it? It's a whole lot better off to do it, amen. It's a whole lot better off just to mind the Lord, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. Beloved, listen, God's faithfulness is seen in the congregation. But the last thing, and probably the most important thing, God's faithfulness is seen in the Christ. Look at verse 24 down through verse number 29 with me for just a moment. "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers." I'm just going to stop and say this. This ain't talking about Solomon. And this ain't talking about David. I'm going to show you why. Look what he said right here. "Also, I will make him my firstborn." Watch this. "Higher than the kings of the earth." Beloved, this is pointing us to Jesus. Amen. God is saying, you think this my faithfulness is something in the Christian. You think my faithfulness is something in the creation. You think my faithfulness is something in the congregation. I want to give you something else to consider. I want you to see my faithfulness in the Christ. It was God, beloved, that gave us His only begotten Son. Amen. His Son left heaven knowing that He was headed to an old rugged cross. Knowing, beloved, listen, that there was no room in the inn, that He'd have to make His bed in a manger, amen, and that there would be no place. He said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." I was in New Mexico years ago. Give me a little swig of this water and we'll finish. And my dad had a saying when I was growing up, and he said this. He said, "Son, we might be poor, but we don't have to be nasty." That's what he'd say. He said, "Anybody can get a hold of some soap and water." And there was a pastor. I'm not going to name any names. You say, "Why not, preacher?" Because I can't remember. But if I could remember, I wouldn't name the name. But I presented my work in a church in New Mexico. I had preached a revival to the Navajo Indians the week prior. I was flying out of New Mexico on Monday, and on Sunday, I went to this church. And this pastor let me stay in his home. Now listen to me. I'm telling you, beloved, I was as low as a person could get. I'm telling you, the screens was tore out of, I'm talking about scorpion country. I'm talking about rattlesnake country. I'm talking about I was sleeping on the bottom bunk, and the bunk bed above me, Brother David, had the angle iron bin on it like this. And every time I went to get in and out of it, there's another knot on my head. I don't believe there's any knot on the angle iron, believe it or not. And I got to complaining, Brother Jason, in my spirit. I was afraid to go to sleep, brother. I didn't know what was going to crawl in on me. And I got to complaining in my spirit. I'm confessing my fault to you. And I'm telling you, I was low. I said, God, I'm telling you, the place was nasty. It smelled nasty. It was awful. Awful. Brother Justin, about 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a thought crossed my mind. Jesus, if you were in New Mexico, there wouldn't be a roof over your head. You'd be out there somewhere laying down with the scorpions. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And I'm telling you, I laid there and began to weep. I began to thank God for some bent angle iron. An old nasty place with a roof over my head. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I'm telling you, beloved, a whole lot of what we go through in this world, if we just get in our mind that God is faithful. I said, God is faithful. I went out there to preach to a mission church, and that mission church took me on for support. Amen. 11 saved that week. You remember Brother Tom Shelton? Amen. Brother Tom lined all of his men up when I left. He told me this story. Lined them all up across the front of the church. He said, I believe God wants us to support Brother Vinoy. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Got down to the last one. He was an old man, couldn't speak English. So it had to be interpreted. And he told me this, brother. He said, that man with tears. He said, I only hope someday we can love our people the way Brother Vinoy loved our people. What was it, Brother Gary? God was just saying, listen, you might go through some rough places, but I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Brother Tom took me to a Christian school. He said, now, Brother Vinoy, don't look for much to happen down there. He said, it's really dry. I went in there, Brother Rick, and just ran back and preached and loved them kids. And 9 of them said yes to Jesus. I think the mistake a lot of men make, they think when they're in a Christian school, everybody's a Christian. Ain't nothing further from the truth. Some of them youngins have never met Jesus. But I tell you, they did that day. Ain't that a blessing? God is faithful. God's faithfulness is seen in the Christ. Let's look here. The Bible said here, I'll also make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Ain't that a blessing? We can see God's faithfulness in the Christian, in the creation, in the congregation, and in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to this, and I'm done. Finished, Miss Eve. Missionary statesman Hudson Taylor, he had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. He said, depend on it. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I want you to go home with the thought on your mind, He's faithful.